Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25, hear the word of the Lord. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, not about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Gracious God, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. We ask this morning that you would make us hungry for your heavenly food, that it would nourish us in this life and in the eternal life that is ours through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven, we pray. Amen. Many of you may be aware that May, for many years, has been designated Mental Health Awareness Month. I just thought it was interesting that this passage lands right in the middle of Mental Health Awareness Month. Anxiety, which is what Jesus is addressing here, is a real issue of health, an issue of mental health. And when we deal with anxiety, I think often the cool thing is to ignore it, to pretend like it doesn't exist. I want you to notice in our passage this morning, Jesus is not asking us to simply ignore the concept of anxiety. And another thing I notice in our passage this morning is he doesn't give a cure to anxiety. To my knowledge, there is no cure to anxiety this side of death, this side of the return of Jesus. A cure is a treatment that eliminates a condition. It's a permanent solution that gets rid of a problem entirely. Jesus doesn't do that either. He doesn't ignore it, nor does he give a cure. But what he does do in our passage this morning is, number one, he calls it what it is. Anxiety. That's his word. And he gives a series of antidotes, treatments. There's a difference between an antidote and a cure. He doesn't give a cure, but an antidote is something that counteracts a problem, counteracts the effects of anxiety. It doesn't eliminate the condition, but it helps to neutralize its effects. You'll remember in our passage, if you've been with us in recent weeks, Jesus is describing his disciples. And he's going through a whole series of categories and hypothetical situations and showing how if you are a citizen of the kingdom and if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to look different. You're going to look different in your morality. You're going to look different in your religious practices. You're going to look different in what we've called secular righteousness, your public business and how you handle your money and your possessions and your food and your drink. In other words, we're going to be different, and he's done this by a whole series of contrasts. We're going to be different from the hypocrites. We're going to be different from the pagans. We're going to be different from the pagan value system that surrounds us. And continuing on that theme of what it looks like to be a disciple, I think clearly he's making the point this morning that Christians, citizens of the kingdom, are not to be marked by a crippling anxiety, worry, particularly worrying about what you will eat, what you will drink, your body and your clothes, food, body and clothes. Spurgeon, I think very wisely, referred to this trinity that Jesus is referring to here, food, body, and clothes, as the world's trinity of cares. I think there's truth to that. I was thinking about the advertising industry. Think about pretty much any ad you look at, any commercial you see on television or the internet. Practically all advertising is aimed at that trinity: food, the body, and clothes. Well, Jesus doesn't give a cure to anxiety, but I think the great encouragement here is that he does indicate there are treatments for anxiety. And of course, in our modern context, there are more treatments than ever. I think it's ironic that probably we're in the greatest mental health care crisis that our generation has ever known. And yet at the same time, there are more mental health care options out there than ever before. And sometimes that does include therapy. Sometimes that does include therapy and medication. Sometimes that includes all kinds of different treatments. But I do think fundamentally what Jesus is getting at here this morning is knowing some things about your Creator is essential to combating debilitating anxiety. And I think he gives us three this morning. In fact, each of the therefores in our passage, you'll notice in verse 25, and then you'll notice in verse 31, and then you'll notice in verse 34, you have three therefores. That outlines three main points that Jesus is making. And remember, when you see a therefore in Scripture, that is an indicator that whatever came before is now resulting in a logical conclusion. Here's an idea, and the logic is therefore apply it this way. And each of the times Jesus says, therefore do not be anxious. Mitigate your anxiety. So let's look at these three things, three antidotes to anxiety. The first is this: he is trustworthy. God is trustworthy. He says in verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious. That conclusion is based on the previous passage. And if you remember, if you were with us last week, the previous passage built on this idea of laying up treasures in heaven. Jesus used three metaphors. He said, invest in long-term investments in heaven where moth and rust and thieves do not break in and destroy these things. He said, make sure that your eye is seeing clearly and that you're focused on things that matter for eternity. And then he said, be reminded, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve both God and money. So think about the logic here. If we truly believe that as disciples, it is more important, according to God, and we believe this, to store up treasures in heaven where they are secure, where they are eternal. If we, as disciples, have clear vision to see things of eternal significance, and we're focusing on things primarily in life that are of eternal value, and if we truly believe that God is our master and money is not our master, therefore, we have a pretty good foundation for not being so anxious about the things of this world. In other words, Jesus is saying, God is trustworthy. Your Creator is trustworthy. And He is calling you, as you live this life, to focus more on eternal things than temporal things. And you can trust Him. You can trust Him. It's natural to worry, no doubt. But if you are living for riches, if you are living for the stuff that this world has to offer, and you're accumulating this big pile of things that rust and moths are going to destroy, You should be anxious. I think that's the logic here. But if you really trust that the Creator is trustworthy, and you're investing in things that are of an eternal nature, and your vision is not blurred by temporal things, you serve a God whom you can trust. That is one antidote to anxiety. You serve a God whom you can trust. Verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? That is trustworthy. Second antidote that I think Jesus offers here for mitigating the effects of anxiety. Not only is God trustworthy, he's also caring. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And here he's building up another argument. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? That's an argument from the lesser to the greater. Look at the birds. If God takes care of the birds, and they are lesser than human beings, certainly he will take care of us who are more valuable in his eyes. God cares for you. That's a reminder that God is both able and willing to care for you. He wants to care for you. He lavishes care on you. He says in verse 28, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious. If God lavishes all of this care and love on the grass and the lilies and the birds, and you can go outside and observe these things. Parents, young folks, I read the words of Jesus here to say to us, it is vitally important to your mental health to get outside. Enjoy this world. See this world. Look at this world. Look at the birds, Jesus says. Look at the flora. Look at the fauna. Look at the grass. How many times in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, are we called just to go outside and look, observe? Yeah, I grew up pre-internet. I wasn't in the internet generation, but I was certainly in the television generation. And I thank God this Mother's Day, that my mother and my father had the wisdom to know it's okay to watch a couple of cartoons on Saturday morning, that's fine, but then get outside. There is something about outside. It is the book of nature that teaches us so much about our Creator. That's what Jesus is getting at here. Go outside. It's essential to your mental health to get in touch with your Creator and to see how He does things. Observe how He does things. Be able to draw conclusions from the way He takes care of other things that He has created. Shortly after World War II, the German evangelical pastor Helmut Thielicke was reflecting on this passage. And he had seen, like so many during World War II, just the horrors of war. And here's a wonderful quote, I think. Thielicke said this, "We know the sight and sound of homes collapsing in flames. Our own eyes have heard the sound of crashing, falling, and shrieking. Yet, stop and listen when this man whose life on earth was anything but bird-like and lily-like, points us to the references of birds and lilies. Were not the somber shadows of the cross already looming over this hour of the Sermon on the Mount? In other words, it's reasonable to trust the Father, even in the darkest hours of life, and war has got to be some of the darkest hours of life, because Jesus himself trusted the Father in his darkest hours of life. And he did so because his Father cared for him. That's the point he's making here. One antidote to the natural anxiety that comes from living in a fallen world is based on the fact that God is trustworthy. Another antidote to anxiety that Jesus is offering here is based on the fact that he is caring. And then I think there's a third antidote here. He's trustworthy, he's caring. And thirdly, he's righteous. He's righteous. Here's his next argument, verse 32. For the Gentiles seek after all of these things: food, clothing, the body. The Gentiles seek after these things. Those are the things the world has to offer, the things that moth and rust destroy, the things that are wasting away. The Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows you need them all, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, it's the most natural thing in the world that pagans would spend all of their time and energy and efforts chasing after material things. They don't have anything else to live for. And if physical survival is the be-all, end-all, if survival of the species is the be-all, end-all of existence, an exclusive preoccupation with food and clothing and the body would make sense. That is at least logically consistent. If I am purely the result of naturalistic processes of chance and physics and chemical processes, and my highest call in existence is to be warmed and fueled and reproduce, then this makes all the sense in the world. This is what I live for, as if I am just a biological mechanism. Jesus is reminding us here there's something more to life than biological processes. There's something more to the worth of human beings than their physical existence. That's at the core of Christianity. You are worth more than just physics and chemical processes. You are the product of a righteous God. If you don't see that, you have an unbiblical, reductionistic view of humanity. There's more to us than just this physical stuff. And if that's the case, and Jesus says it is, the Bible says it is, he's saying make it your business, first and foremost, to seek God's interest, to follow his ways, to follow his teachings. He is righteous. He's going to look after your physical needs. But seek him first. Make it a priority to seek him first. And I get, you know, this is open to abuse. And I have no doubt, in fact, I've known people who read this passage, and some others like it, And they come to the conclusion, well, this means believers in Christ should never make any plans. This means believers in Christ should never worry about building or planning or taking reasonable steps to invest, retirement, health care, those kinds of things. I don't think that's at all what Jesus is saying here. The whole Sermon on the Mount, his favorite rhetorical teaching tools is hyperbole, exaggeration. It's making statements that are a bit shocking to get your attention and to help us to remember them. I think the idea here is plan, yes. Plan for trouble, yes. But don't worry about it. Right, even the example of the birds here. You know, birds do work hard. They really do. If you observe birds, you'll notice they do things like build nests, and they lay eggs, and they feed their young, and they migrate. Some birds migrate thousands and thousands of miles. It's actually incredible. But they don't worry. They work hard, they plan reasonably, but they don't worry, and everything works out. I think that's exactly what Jesus is getting at here, that worry will not add to your lifespan. In fact, we know now in the 21st century, not only will worrying not add to your lifespan, it will actually reduce your lifespan. Scientific fact. It is unproductive. He says, verse 27, which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? You can't add a single hour to your life by worrying. Care for your body, yes. Plan financially, yes. Work hard, yes. Pray, yes. Don't worry. That's what Jesus is telling us. And don't worry because God is trustworthy, God is caring, and God is righteous. I love 1 Peter 5, 7. Cast all of your cares on the Lord. Cast all of your anxieties on the Lord because he cares for you. Doesn't say you're never going to feel anxieties. But he says what you can do is cast them on God. There's enough trouble for today. I love that closing verse in our passage. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Believe me, there's enough reasons to be anxious today. You don't have to start forecasting and adding them up until tomorrow. You're not going to add any more moments to your life by doing this. In fact, you're going to reduce them and throw them upon the Lord. Cast them upon the Lord. Cast is a definite action by which we stop worrying and we say, God, please take this. I'm casting this on you. I'm asking you to assume my welfare, my well-being. Because you care for me. You're mindful of me. That's what the Bible everywhere encourages us to learn, is that he cares for us. And he's watching after us. That's woven throughout this passage before us today. Father, we thank you for your teaching on anxiety and cares. Lord, asking that you would deepen our ability and our desire and our quickness in this process of casting our cares upon you. Lord, mitigate the anxiety in our lives by giving us a larger picture of who you are. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.